Hello friends, welcome to WhisSchool. Once again, we are on chapter 4 of Introduction to Insurance and Risk Management. What have we done up till now? In the first two chapters, we navigated the world of insurance and risk management. In chapter number 3, we understood the business environment of insurance in India, and now we are ready to dive deeper into the three main types of insurance in India, that is life insurance, non-life insurance, and health insurance. So chapter 4, we are going to talk exclusively on introduction to life insurance. Here we'll talk about the basic concepts of life insurance, the different types of life insurance, the importance of life insurance, and so many other aspects of life insurance which will prepare you to a larger extent on what exactly is life insurance. Life insurance basically covers the risk to a very important asset called life. And when we call life, there is a possibility of loss to life which can come in the form of disabilities or even death. And when this comes, there has to be an insurer who compensates to the near and dear ones when it is death of the insured or to the insured himself when there is a disability. So basically, life insurance, like any other insurance, deals with transfer of risk. It deals with compensating for the loss. And when we talk about life insurance, this is a special type of insurance which is called as and life insurance of assurance. And why do we call it an insurance of assurance? Because the sum insured is on the basis of a fixed amount. Because everyone's life is important, but you cannot fix a value for the life. And for that matter, we have a specific method onto which we fix a value of an individual based on a certain concept that has been developed in life insurance. So this will help you to understand how life insurance policy itself is created, what are the different terms and conditions, what are the riders and add-ons, so that one can plan to buy a life insurance so that they will ensure a safety net for themselves in case of disability and their near and dear ones in case of the death of the insured. So what are we going to cover in chapter 4? Chapter 4, we are first going to understand the concept of life insurance. Then we are going to know how this life insurance evolved in India. Then the regulatory framework governing life insurance, the different types of life insurance policies, importance of life insurance in financial planning. Because gone are the days where insurance was bought just for the sake of tax benefits. Now, the awareness about life insurance has been increasing, and here now people are not just buying it for the sake of tax benefits, but they are buying an insurance for providing a safety net based on their economic value of life, based on what they feel would be a sufficient corpus for their near and dear ones in case they no more exist in this world. So financial planning not only helps them to create a safety net in case of disability or death, but nowadays the non-conventional products which provide different features within the life insurance policy, there are savings and investment plans which can give them returns during a particular period, during a milestone achievement. It can be for marriage, it can be for higher education, it can be for buying a house. So such type of investment products can not only help them to reap benefits and meet their financial goals during their lifetime, but it can also create a corpus for getting pensions and annuities when they retire or even if they want to retire early in life. So life insurance plays a very important role in financial planning. That's what we are going to understand in this chapter. Then the current scenario, key players in the Indian life insurance market. We have already seen this in general in our chapter 3, where we discuss the business environment of insurance in India. But in this chapter, we are going to focus on key players in the Indian life insurance market. Then, of course, life insurance has to be marketed and sold. There is a lot of scope because the penetration level as well as the density level of life insurance in India is not that high. There is a tremendous potential for marketing and selling life insurance products. So who are the people that are involved? Which intermediaries are involved? More specifically, the agents, brokers, the web aggregators, and various other intermediaries, how they actually plan their activities for marketing and selling life insurance, then the role of agents, brokers, and distributors. And finally, despite all this tremendous growth and development in the insurance, life insurance sector, what are the challenges and future trends in the life insurance sector? So this chapter is going to give us a complete or more detailed information on life insurance. So let's begin with the concept of life insurance. When we talk about life insurance enables individuals to transfer the risk and burden of potential losses to the insurer just by paying a small premium. This small premium is based on what sum assured the insured desires. The basic objective of life insurance is to protect against the loss of economic value due to death or disability of the insured. However, as I said before, some insurance policies, life insurance policies, also provide the flavor of savings or investment benefits more through the non-conventional life insurance products, which can be a ULIP or even an annuity plan. In legal terms, if we want to understand what life insurance is simply a financial contract. When we talk about contract, there are two parties. On one side, we have the policyholder. On the other side, we have the insurance company. What does the policyholder do? He simply has to pay the premium set by the insurance company based on the sum assured. And what the insurance company does, insurance company promises to make good the loss of the economic value, that is the life of a person whenever he is dead or in case he suffers any disabilities. So life insurance policies protect human life, and hence they are called as the policies of assurance, simply because unlike policies of indemnity, which we have seen in non-life insurance, you cannot fix the value of a life like you fix the value of any commodity as in case of general insurance. You can have an MRP for a mobile, but you cannot have an MRP for a life of a person. And hence, since life insurance protects human life, the sum assured is fixed, is prefixed based on, we will see how the human life value is calculated in the next few slides. We have also seen some aspect in chapter number 1, but this is the main reason life insurance policies are called as policies of assurance. What are the key features of life insurance policies? The first and important key feature is financial protection against risk that can destroy the human life. The insured pays premium, the sum assured is paid to the nominee in case of the insured's death. However, if the insured survives, maturity benefits are provided during the life term, either after periodical periods, fixed term, or after retirement. Some policies offer savings, wealth accumulation, or retirement benefits, wherein, in addition to life cover, the insured can take benefits of getting returns at fixed term or on maturity. The premiums paid by the insured are also eligible for tax deductions under Section 80C of the Income Tax Act 1961 in India. So now, having understood the basic concept of life insurance, let's go through the evolution of life insurance. We have seen in chapter 1, life insurance has evolved since the ancient times. The first references, the earliest forms of life insurance, find trace in the ancient Babylon and Rome, specifically as burial cups for meeting the funeral expenses. As it evolved over a period of time, we have traces of life insurance in the late 17th and the 18th century, where development of formal life insurance practices happened. The first life insurance policy was issued in 1706 by Amicable Society for Perpetual Assurance Office in London. In the 19th century, New York Life and Metropolitan Life started offering life insurance with medical underwriting and long-term policies. So there is a systematic evolution of life insurance over a period of time. When we talk about evolution of life insurance in India, Oriental Life Insurance Company was established in 1818, London, which is considered as first life insurance company to serve the European community. So this Oriental Life Insurance Company was specifically catering to the European community. Now let's understand the evolution of life insurance in India. Oriental Life Insurance Company was the first life insurance company established in India to serve the European community in 1818. However, Bombay Mutual was the India's first life insurance company to cover Indian lives at normal rates. Bombay Mutual was established in India in 1870. So these are the typical landmarks of introduction of life insurance in India. But it required regulation, and hence the Life Insurance Companies Act of 1912 was enacted for regulating the life insurance business. This was later replaced by Insurance Act of 1938, which exists today itself. The replacement of by Insurance Act of 1938 was done for introducing comprehensive regulations of life and non-life insurance. However, instead of changing the name of the act, amendments have been carried out in the Insurance Act of 1938, and hence the name continues, but it has been improvised with various amendments suiting the needs of the country. An important milestone in life insurance in India was nationalization of life insurance in 1956. This was done to make insurance benefits available to a large number of people with fair business practices, because the private life insurers were not typically taking care of the large number of poor people. They were purely operating from the profit motive, and hence government decided to nationalize for enabling the benefits to reach to large number of people with fair business practices. Then yet another major milestone was achieved in insurance sector because of the Malhotra Committee recommendations. Malhotra Committee recommendation was instrumental in changing the life insurance ecosystem in India. It laid the foundation for liberalization, privatization, and modernization. In 2000, based on Malhotra Committee recommendation, private insurance companies were allowed to enter the insurance market. Based on, again, Malhotra Committee recommendations, IRDA was established in 1999 to promote fair competition, protect policyholders' interest, and also to ensure the insurer's financial stability. IRDA continues to give licenses to new insurance companies in India. They also license insurance agents, create guidelines for insurance companies, and every insurance company need IRDA's approval for any new insurance plans. IRDA encourages online insurance and low-cost microinsurance for people in even rural areas. It has also established strict deadlines to streamline the claim settlement process. All insurers have to comply with it. Policyholders can leverage grievances through IRDAI or through the insurers themselves. And in case the insurers don't pay heed to the policyholder's grievance, then the insurer have the option of approaching the insurance ombudsman, which provides independent grievance redressal. IRDA has a specifically improving regulatory framework. It is assessed for agility and relevance to promote the ease of doing business and reducing compliance burden while ensuring protection of policyholders' interests. The regulations, circulars, and guidelines pertaining to the insurance sector have undergone a thorough evaluation and examination for their relevance, agility, simplicity, and adaptability, along with associated burden and cost of compliances. The IRDA has introduced various frameworks which has brought tremendous changes in the insurance sector. The best to quote or name is the risk-based capital framework, which helps the insurer to maintain adequate capital related to the risk and optimize risk management. The regulatory action report system is a centralized data repository of actions taken by IRDAI on violations of regulated entries. The risk-based supervision framework promotes robust supervision focused on consumer protection. The regulatory sandbox approach is literally revolutionary. It's a tech-led innovation aimed at carving out a safe and conducive space to experiment with fintech solutions and reduce the consequences of failures. So no need to actually go into the live market and then face the music if there is any flaw in the system or the product. This sandbox approach helps to understand the consequences well before the launch. IRDA has committed to enabling insurance for all by 2047. This insurance for all by 2047 will ensure that every citizen of our country will have life insurance as well as non-life insurance, including the property as well as the health insurance. And for that matter, IRDA has actually introduced the Bima Trinity concept to make insurance easily accessible and affordable to both urban and rural masses in a single marketplace and deepen the people's trust in the insurance sector. Now, when we talk about a Bima Trinity concept, it has three arms: the Bima Sugam, the Bima Vistar, and the Bima Vahak. Let us understand what this each Trinity concept means. The Bima Sugam is a unified digital marketplace that connects different insurance companies to simplify the process of buying, servicing, and claiming insurance policies, universalizing insurance, and making insurance more user-friendly and efficient. So this is like a one-place market for all the requirements. The Bima Vistar component of Bima Trinity is a composite insurance product that offers comprehensive protection under a single policy. It covers a range of risks related to life, accident, property, and hospitalization, and reduces the complexity of buying multiple insurance plans. The Bima Vahak, the third component of the Bima Trinity, empowers women in the rural and semi-urban areas to increase the insurance penetration by becoming local distributors of insurance products. So not only this gives them employment opportunities, but also enables distribution in the rural and semi-urban areas, thus promoting financial inclusion and gender equality. Let's understand some important provisions of IRDAI regulations, circulars, and guidelines. All life insurers ensure a minimum percentage of lives in accordance with Regulation 4, Subsection A, Subclause A, 5, and 7 of IRDAI, Rural, Social Sector, and Motor Third Party Obligations Regulation 24. This is the latest regulation, and all life insurers must comply with these requirements. IRDAI has gone one step ahead by allotting the states and union territories to every insurer designated as the lead insurer, so that every state has contributions for the increasing the penetration and density of life insurance in India, and it ensures a structured approach to insurance coverage rather than waiting for any state to approach any insurer. The insurers are themselves allotted the states or union territories so that A structured approach will ensure a deeper penetration and density, increase the density of life insurance in every state and union territory. Now, IDAI, rural, social sector, and motor third-party regulations promote the financial inclusion and social welfare by ensuring that insurers provide adequate coverage in these critical areas. The IDAI, rural, social sector, and motor third-party obligations, regulations 2024 aim for fulfillment of rural sector obligations, so the rural sector will no more remain neglected. The IDAI Reinsurance Amendment Regulations 2023 aims to have in place an enabling legal framework to make India a reinsurance hub. The IDAI Registration and Operation of Foreign Reinsurers Branches and Lloyd's India Regulation 2024 aim at promoting the ease of doing reinsurance business. The IDAI Insurance Products Regulations 2024 provide a unified framework aimed at facilitating the industry responsiveness to the dynamic market demands. The IDAI Protection of Policyholders' Interests, Operations and Allied Matters of Insurers Regulation 2024 deals with the provisions relating to protection of interests of the policyholders, ensuring fair treatment of prospects during solicitation and sale of insurance policies. Financial underwriting has been made mandatory in the case of life insurance policies. Policyholders can now have 30 days extended free look-in period to review their insurance policies and cancel them if the terms and conditions of the policy, both life and health, are not acceptable. Nomination is now mandatory for all life insurance policies. So friends, this is just the gist of the regulations that are introduced recently by IDAI. That doesn't mean it is exhaustive. Students are advice to update what these regulations, the amendments, including the figures that are mentioned for insurers as well as intermediaries, so that they remain updated with this latest development and prepare themselves better when they actually land up into this insurance market. So having understood the regulatory framework more specifically from the IDAI context, now let's understand the different types of life insurance policies. When we talk about different types of life insurance policies, they can be classified on basis of different factors, like one of them is linked and non-linked, other can be participating and non-participating. So we are going to understand both. Now, let's understand the difference between linked insurance plans and non-linked insurance plans. When we talk about the linked insurance plans, these are specifically the modern policies that are market-linked products. The premium paid by the policyholder is invested in market-linked. And when we talk about market-linked products, they are specifically invested in the equity, debt, or a mix of both based on the policyholder's choice. So here the policyholder are likely to get more returns than the non-linked plans. What are the non-linked plans? Non-linked plans, simply the investment of the premium is done not in the market, but in specific instruments suggested by IDAI and the government, where the returns might not be more as in linked, market-linked plans, but definitely there will be a reasonable return even with non-linked insurance plans. Before going more deeper into the linked plans and the non-linked plans, let us understand the difference between participating insurance plans and non-participating insurance plans. In terms of profit, the insurance company shares profit through bonuses in participating insurance plans, whereas in non-participating insurance plans, the insurance company offers guaranteed benefits, but no profit is shared by the insurance company. In terms of returns, both guaranteed and non-guaranteed returns are provided in participating insurance plans, but guaranteed benefits without any bonuses are provided in non-participating insurance plans. When we talk about bonuses, there can be three different types of bonuses. The reversionary bonus is the annual bonus declared by the insurance company, which accumulates over a policy's term. The terminal or the persistency bonus is a one-time bonus paid out at the end of the policy term or upon the insurer's death. And the cash bonus is annually paid out to the policyholder in cash and not accumulated. All these three types of bonus could be provided in participating insurance plans, but there won't be any bonuses in case of non-participating insurance plans. When we talk in terms of risk, there is a moderate risk depending upon the company's performance in participating insurance plans, but there will be a very lower risk as the benefits are fixed and assured in non-participating insurance plans. When we talk about premiums, since the returns could be higher, they are generally higher in case of participating insurance plans, whereas in non-participating insurance plans, the premiums could be comparatively lower. In case terms of transparency, the participating insurance plans are based on surplus distribution, whereas there is a complete clarity on returns and payouts in case of non-participating insurance plans. In terms of preference, in participating insurance plans, individuals seeking stability and high returns, whereas in case of non-participating insurance plans, these are best suited for conservative investors looking for certainty in income and don't want to take a high risk. The best examples of participating insurance plans can be endowment plans with bonus as well as whole life plans with bonus, whereas examples of non-participating insurance plans includes the term insurance, the guaranteed income plans, and the annuity plans. Having classified insurance policies on the basis of linked and non-linked, the life insurance policies can also be categorized based on various other factors like the duration of policy. Term insurance, whole life insurance are two beautiful examples based for duration, like term insurance can be for a specified terms, whereas whole life is for the entire life. When you talk in terms of method of premium payments, a single premium policy will require only payment of premium once, whereas a level premium policy will include timely or periodical payments of a fixed sum of premium regularly. In terms of participation in profit, we have already seen with profit or without profit participation policies. In terms of numbers of life covered, there can be single life policies or multiple life policies. In terms of method of payment of claim amount, there can be a lump sum policies, installment policies, or annuities policies. When we talk in terms of non-conventional policies, this can be policies designed mainly to meet the investment objectives. The best example could be ULIP. Insurance policies can be also categorized based on the various stages of life, like a child saving plan specifically for children, for unmarried individuals, investment plans for unmarried individuals, pension plans for retired people, and protection plans for married couple. So this way also the insurance plans could be categorized. Insurance policies can also be based on the protection needs, like protection of income, medical needs, needs of dependents, protection of assets, family maintenance, etc. Now let's look at specific type of policy one by one. The first to start with is the term life insurance. Term plan policies are often for a specific term by the insured and agreed by the insurer. The insurer promised to pay the sum insured to the insured's nominee if the insured expires during the plan term. If the insured survives or the entire term of the plan, then the insurer will have no liability. So this is a perfect policy. It's a low premium policy specifically suited for the insured who want to ensure that after their demise, there will be some corpus paid by the insurance company to their near and dear ones. A term insurance policy charges you only for the cost of insurance, and hence this is comparatively cheaper. Term plan policies are the simplest forms of insurance plans and are considered to be cheapest, and one should always provide for this plan if at all they need a basic safety net for their near and dear ones. There can be various types of term insurance cover. For example, the pure term plan. The insured's nominee gets the sum assured after the insured's death. If the insured survives, the insured is not liable to pay any claim. Pure term plans are cheaper than other insurance products. The next flavor of term insurance are return of premium plans. Unlike a pure term plan, the insured gets some or all of the premium paid at the end of the term. In case of the insured's untimely death during the term, the nominees are also entitled to claim the sum. So based on the need, based on the preference, the insured can decide which type of term plan they can buy in. Another type of term plan is the decreasing plan. In this plan, the sum assured decreases every year. The premiums are based on diminishing sum assured and hence lower every year. So if anyone wants to pay a lesser premium year after year, then they can go for the decreasing plan. This is specifically suited in case of a mortgage loan. The mortgage loan adds a premium to the total debt liability which the borrower pays to an increased EMI. There is another plan, term plan, which is called as an increasing plan. In this plan, instead of decreasing as seen in the previous plan, the amount of the cover increases by about 5% every year until the sum assured increases by 50% or doubles in value. The premiums are obviously higher than those of the decreasing plan. There are also convertible term plans. This plan combines the benefits of a term plan with a saving plan. Initially, the insured buys a term plan, which can be converted into an investment cum insurance plan. Later, the premium may change at the time of conversion. So this option that you can convert your existing term plan into a saving option is also available in convertible plans. There are renewable plans also. This plan enables the policyholder to renew the term policy at the expiry of the term without an additional period of medical examination. So this is a beautiful provision which ensures that the insured can continue with his same plan without any medical examination. The premium may change according to the age. This policy suits those who may feel they may have a deteriorating health which might be uninsurable at an advanced age. So having understood the term plan, now let's understand the endowment plans. Endowment plans covers both the term assurance plans as well as the pure endowment plans. Now with term assurance plans, the nominee gets the sum assured on the untimely death of the insured, whereas the pure endowment plan helps the insured get periodic payment from the insurer during the term or at the end of the term. Endowment assurance plans can come in different flavors, such as a double endowment, joint life endowment, fixed term marriage endowment, educational indemnity plan, triple benefit plan, mortgage redemption assurance plan, and there can be various other flavors based on the creativity of the insurer. It allows the policyholder to add riders for critical illnesses, such as identified illnesses, based on the agreement between the insured and the insurer. It can also provide some compensation for major surgical assistance also. Now, the first flavor of endowment plan is the pure endowment plan. Pure endowment plan promises to pay the insured in periodical terms, payments during the plan's term if the insured survives. However, if the insured dies, the insurer will not have any liability. So this policy is like an investment scheme where the insured gets returns and can be useful for giving people advantage living longer lives. Endowment assurance plans covers both the term plan as well as the pure endowment plan. So here it serves both purposes, family protection as well as the investment. So based on a person's preference, he can choose between an endowment assurance plan or a pure endowment plan. Pure endowment plan promises to pay the insured as we have seen. Endowment plan, we have seen, it serves both purposes. The policy term is specified in the endowment assurance plan and the sum assured is payable on the life's assured death during the period of his survival. The insured can pay the premium throughout the term or for a limited period. But compulsory savings are possible in this type of plan for meeting future expenses that must be that could be in the form of marriage, higher education, or other family requirements. a very close flavor comes in the form of money back plan. What happens in a money back plan? Money back plan is an endowment plan. Why it is an endowment plan? Because it covers both the term insurance plan and a pure endowment plan. The term insurance plan gives the benefit to the nominee in case of the insured's untimely death, whereas in case of a pure endowment plan, the insurer gets periodic payments. So both family protection in case of untimely death of the insured and the periodic payment if the insurer survives during the term or at the end of the term. However, in money back plans, the policyholder gets periodic payment during the policy term. These payments are intended for specific needs of the insured, whatever it can be, children's education, marriage, foreign tours. If the insured gets dies during the term, the nominee gets the sum insured. Next important type of policy is the whole life policy. Whole life policy keeps the policy alive for the entire life of the insured rather than specific term. So those who want a life protection for the entire life, whole life policies are best suited. In case of the insured's untimely death, the nominee gets a sum insured and other benefits of the policy. The insured can make partial withdrawal for emergencies and also take loans against the policy. A joint life endowment policy. What is it? A joint life endowment policy is specially suited for those who want more than one life insured under a single policy, such as partners of a firm or a couple. If either of the insured dies, the insurer will pay the sum insured to the other surviving insured. The sum insured can also be payable on the expiry of the term. Let's look what the survivorship plans are. Survivorship plans are suitable for insuring two lives under one life insurance policy. In case of the death of the insured life, the other specific person is paid the sum. However, if another specific person dies, insurer will have no liability to pay. Students should note carefully, every person requires insurance. When it comes to more than one person staying together like a family, the insurer should carefully decide the number of persons insured. A single policy on two names will cover two lives separately. However, a joint policy covers one sum assured.